Man, so I went to the cafe near my house this morning.
Yeah.
I sat down, 10 minutes. I was sitting there, 10 minutes, and no one came and served me. They loved me there as well.
Yeah.
It was just like...
That's so annoying.
There's a lot of Lorna Jane walkthroughs, getting their fucking almond lattes. Respect. The almond industry survives on people like that.
Yeah, big almond.
But I'm sitting there, I felt invisible. You know, the last time I felt that invisible was last night, seeing my vote not count for shit. Hey, don't blame me. I didn't vote for anyone.
No, look. Here's the thing with the election. Like, I'm not disappointed.
No.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Like, anyone that thought that Bill Shorten was the fucking knight in shining armor that was going to save the day, like, did he really give you that BDE that he was going to roll through and fucking, like, just turn it out for the progressives?
No, the correct response, like psychologically, I know, I don't mean morally or ever. Like, if you've come to this show for moral guidance, fucking
thank you, welcome.
I need you to close your eyes and take a deep breath if you came here for moral guidance. No, but like the correct response to the election, I guess we're talking about. We're recording.
Yeah.
The correct response to the election is definitely apathy and nihilism, and if you have more than that, respect for, you know,
yeah,
maintaining that potentially psychopathic optimism.
Well, I think the fact that you still care is a sign of your ignorance. And good for you, because right now, more than ever, ignorance is bliss.
We've been telling you it's fucking hopeless this whole time.
Yeah, so to all of you saying, you know, I'm moving to New Zealand and writing on their Facebook, shame on you, whoever you are, thinking that you have an audience of people that voted a different way to how you voted. Good on you for still caring, because it means that you're not paying attention. And fucking, you're very lucky.
No, honestly, it being hopeless, I know that's a defeatist attitude, but I mean... What else is there? I mean, we have the solution. You and I had the solution to this years ago.
We've been spouting it forever. We put it in a party promo. was it for one day only? One of the one day parties where we pretended to be a political party.
Oh, yeah, mandatory euthanasia.
For everyone. What was the age we agreed upon?
Was it 60? I think it was 60.
You pulled me up. I was at 40. I was at 40, and I know that's going to offend a lot of friends of mine as someone who is approaching 30 themselves.
Well, if that policy had been instated when we said, regardless of whether it's 60 plus or 40 plus, even if we started with the moderate approach.
Yeah. Anyone older than us that isn't our friend, dead.
We would have won this fucking election.
Yeah, we would have taken it. Landslide.
It would have been a fucking landslide.
Fucking Socialist Alliance would be the opposition party. Yeah.
But no,
we'd form a coalition. It'd be a dictatorship.
Yeah, it'd be a one party system.
Yeah, Adam Bandt, comrade, would be near the top. He'd be our Molotov.
Yeah, and you know, over time we could ice pick him, I suppose.
Yeah, gladly take Melbourne once and for all.
Yeah, and proletariat revolution. Yeah. See, if you just fucking listen to us, we told you.
If you just rose up for once,
once in your damn life, if you'd walked into work and murdered your boss and said to the workers around you, "We own this place now, and we're taking next door too," we wouldn't be in this fucking mess.
Like. Take back what's yours, dude. Like, your Labour isn't someone else's.
Look, but here's the thing. Like, obviously, the Labour Party had fantastic policies. Like,
very well communicated.
Yeah, tax refunds for people who have one arm and a dog, and they are able to, on their tax return, show that they've divested all of their internal franking credits four times over. And fortunately, obviously, that would be complicated to communicate.
But it also,
they had such a good communicator as a leader that they were able to get that message across.
And that hits a big cross-section of people. You know, like, there's a lot of people that affects, and a lot of people that, you know, Labor, this is what they're great at, tricking people into caring about stuff that they shouldn't care about. That's what they did really well.
Yeah, charismatic leader can do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, and That's why I'm so befuddled about why our Mussolini didn't get in.
Bill's just gone.
Big personality Bill. Stepped down graciously to make way for another big personality. Albo's put his hand up.
Yeah. Did you see his speech last night?
Albo.
I didn't either, but my mum said it wasn't very impressive.
Yeah. You know what would have been impressive? Comrade Jim Casey for the Greens getting up there. You know about Jim Casey?
Yeah, yeah, I know about Jim Casey. Yeah. He's my local Greens candidate.
Same, dude. Hey, I think I've seen you around Grandler, fam. He knocked on our door while I was away in Bali.
Casey did.
And everyone freaked out. No one answered the door because they're like, I don't want to talk to some cunt. I was like, fuck, I would have got him in, had a bong. Hey, Jim, you heard of Changer?
If you'd leaked that, then he might have fucking got up.
He would have won the fucking thing.
Yeah. No, well, here we are. Like, this will be fun. Well, here's the thing. Like, on a serious note, so obviously we're taking the piss, like, Bill Shorten, horrible communicator. The biggest...
Yeah.
Just so you guys
don't
know...
Don't quote anything. Don't quote any of that.
Just so you guys know. But here's the point. I think the biggest, as far as like a widespread message that resonated people that was, well, depending on how you look at it, anti-coalition, the widest spread message was that Scott Morrison shouted himself at Engadine Macis.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was more effective messaging that you did.
I did my bit.
Than all of Labor's entire campaign, the millions of dollars, the experts, like that was the most effective piece of campaign.
Where's my millions of dollars? Where's my fucking parade? You know, where's my concession speech?
It's here.
All right. Look. Thank you all for coming out. We did our best, you know. The chaser were on board, I think. Irrational Fear.
Oh, awesome.
All those fucking career comedians.
Yeah.
Who found a gag from some guy who just sits around talking shit and went, oh, I'm going to hop on the back of that.
Yeah, all the people whose position is number one in the satire game, number one or two, got absolutely shat on by Batuta many years ago but are still going about it in classic Gen X fashion.
Yeah.
Satire was better in my day.
Yeah, this is fine, yeah. And you know what? I've convinced all those other Gen X cunts that pay me that it is fine. So we're going to keep on going.
Yeah, dead set. Well, anyway.
So many people got leverage off my fucking gag.
Mm.
And look, I don't like to throw around chat about, like, emotional labor. But fuck, man. I did a lot of fucking heavy... My back is sore from carrying these cunts.
Your emotional back.
Yeah, my emotional back. Man, my emotional back.
My emotional
back,
neck, my
sack.
Emotional back.
My emotional bussy. Oh, man, my chemical bussy.
All I want is someone to lick my emotional neck.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Like, all these, you know, Maureen Faruqi, did you see her Twitter thread?
Yeah, she did the first letter of everything was Engadine.
Great stuff. I mean, it really appeals to her base. It's not going to pull anyone over from Palmer United. Australia United, is it now?
Well, there's multiple. There's the United Australia Party the Australian Conservatives. At least I actually owe our mate Chica, I think, a $100 bottle of champagne because I thought the Fraser Anning was going to get re-elected.
Yeah.
And he got like 55,000 votes, which is great.
Yeah, which is more than 19.
Yeah,
he got his campaign paid for.
So, you know, there's still 55,000 Australians who would vote for an avowed Nazi. But, you know, whatever. As I said, we're in hell world. I mean, the economy is going to crash in the next few years anyway. And like the Liberal Party are obviously not going to return our budget to surplus like they're promising. And then in 3 years' time, Labor will probably put up yet another ineffectual communicator and the Liberals will probably fucking win again.
Yeah, because I mean, it's hard to communicate when you're just like, look, we can't tell you what you want. But what we can tell you is that we'll be slightly better than those cunts.
Yeah.
You know, and people act like Labor are the left. They're literally in the middle.
Mm.
They're fighting both sides because they're attacking the Greens, trying to devalue them, and they've got to attack the Libs.
Well, I mean, they're pro-Adani. Like,
yeah. Because like, you guys want jobs? There's 9,000 unemployed people in Townsville that think they're going to fucking get jobs out of this mine that Adani wants to fill with robots in five years?
Totally. Would you know who spends more on automation than any other company in Australia, Rio Tinto. Yeah. Like, the mines are all fucking automated. Yeah. Like, well, your mate probably lost his job, who was the train driver for Rio Tinto, who, like, crashed it and cost them $190 million because it's now all automated. All their trains are automated at Rio Tinto.
Robots can't do a little too much K the night before they drive a train.
Yeah, well...
maybe they fucking can. You know what? I want to see a robot that can.
Well, that's the thing with robots, man.
They can just keep doing K and it won't hurt them. It helps them, man. They're like reverse horses.
Well, maybe those 9,000 unemployed people in Townsville are all like AI coders.
Oh, 100%, bro. This is what I've been saying. Because Townsville's a hotbed for that, bro. James Cook University, it just pumps out like that. Just computer studies, man. Is that what the university degree is called?
Fuck no.
Definitely computer studies.
Yeah, an oversupply of really highly qualified AI computer studies graduates up in Townsville are now going to get fantastic jobs on the automated Adani mine.
Look at that. The industry came to them.
Labour, you've done it. Well done, guys.
Like, man, to think like, oh, yeah, this Liberal government has come in. I haven't had a job for a while. You know what'll fix that? More of this.
Yeah.
You know?
Liberals now. They got rid of that Ponzi Sydney guy.
Oh, yeah, and they've joined the swamp.
Yeah. They've got the good one now, who is the head of marketing for Tourism Australia.
He's heaps different.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah. No, well, his daughter's fat. Apparently.
She was booing the Anzacs.
Oh, it's fucked, man. You know, it's crazy. It's like, what a difference it makes when you got a fat daughter instead of a hot daughter like Alex Turnbull. Because she's pretty hot. I know she runs her mouth a bit on Twitter, but she's fucking...
Well, people thought that she was the canary in the coal mine with regards to, like, obviously the Liberals are going to lose now that Alex Turnbull's turned on them.
Yeah.
Oh, as you can see, like, super effectual.
Yeah. That was the that really was the turning point in this election when Alex Turnbull, and she just has a way with words, doesn't she? Just came in and just, you know, the fatal blow. They did my dad dirty.
My father was the best thing that ever happened to this party.
Hey, Roman. Let's take it to them on that platform where all the right-wingers listen. Twitter. Yeah, that'll fucking save it.
Anyway, you've walked back into this fucking mess from Bali. How was it?
Man, I just want to... Yeah, I think it's worth saying. The perception that any of this is a mess, you know, it's just like nothing has changed. It's steady as she goes.
Yeah. We just plow on shit. Like, we kind of... It's like we're running backwards shitting into a strong headwind.
Yeah.
Like, and we're just keeping on moving forward.
Yeah, because, look, I mean, we're amongst friends here. It's safe to say that sometimes there's phases of shitting yourself. And it's a quick thing that happens normally, you know. Over the space of 3 seconds, you'll go from I might shit myself to I have shit myself.
Sometimes, but, though, it's have I shat myself?
Yeah. But then there's many points in that, you know, and that final point you get to where it's just like, well, I've shat myself. And that's, I've been there for a little while. This warm feeling, you succumb to just like, well, I know that there's a shower somewhere in this metaphor that is death. And a fresh pair of clothes, again in this metaphor, heaven. Which I'm going to, because I believe in it. And, you know, all good. Just let me die how I wanna. That's all I ask. Yeah. But they're trying to fucking take that from us. Anyway, not in Bali, because there's some things I think I need to tell you off mic.
Okay.
In case the fucking Indonesian Federale are listening.
You want to go back?
Yeah, a little bit. But it was sick, man. Just fucking fanging around on scoots. You know, we went to a...
Authentic Bali experience.
Yeah. Very, very authentico.
You picked up some Balinese, obviously.
Yeah. I did. Swati cup. Oh, it's super racist.
So Exactly, and that's what separates you from the animals, mate.
Yeah.
You're able to recognise that before it comes out.
It was more like a joke on how Australians exploit third world tourism in Southeast Asia. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand a couple of times, not partaking, because I spend money at the ritzy places. But I see it when I look out the window and it's fucking disgusting.
I see it from the 45th floor.
In all seriousness, it was wicked, man. A friend of ours is the chief of operations at this beach club. I don't know where this title's come from, maybe from this beach club themselves. Best beach club in the world. It's called Finn's. Which I'm sure some listeners will be familiar with. A mate of mine is the chief of operations for Finn's.
So if you just head there.
Just mention me. 10% off your tab. Definitely.
No, it's, yeah, exactly. For a $10 entry on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Just say you're on my list.
he took us to his venue and showed us around. We had a great time there. This one particular night, actually, after that, we, again, there's not much that I can say on this in case the Indonesian Federale are listening. Or how much do you want to hear? Should I just tell you when you edit it out?
Well, it's up to you what you want to leave in and edit out.
Well, look, long story short, we went to this club called The Vault. It's only been open for like 6 weeks. And I ended up, everyone left, not everyone in the club, but everyone that I was with. And I'm in this club and it's like tailored to expats, techno, Europeans and shit. And I'm sitting at this table behind the decks with this German guy, the guy that owned the club, and this like Thai drug kingpin with tats on his face and shit. He was like, come to Bangkok, bro. I got you sorted. Like, oh, definitely. Yeah. That sounds good, man. and I ended up with this odd mob. And
then, ragtag.
Yeah, you know, we were just, you know, shooting the breeze. Yeah. But it somehow ended with me. You know, there are several steps to shitting yourself. and no one ever tells you about the step where you're crawling up the staircase of a Balinese nightclub going like, I hope no one sees me this vulnerable, because they'll definitely exploit that. The way that, you know, say an Australian would go to Bali and exploit that in another way. Did someone just knock on our door?
Yeah, maybe. It might be Sam or something.
Hello?
Yeah. Come in. It's open. Oh, hello.
All right, I've hit record again. We'll put like a... Is there a knock on the door? Was on the thing?
Yeah.
And then we'll just...
Yeah. That was super wholesome.
Yeah. So anyway, and we're back.
We were talking about like being on K, and then like our friend came over with his gorgeous daughter and we sung Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah. Now here, so that was basically my Bali trip.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention the K in the earlier bit. I was trying to clean up, but yeah, who cares? I think it's semi-legal there.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
It felt legal. That's what matters.
Yeah, it's semi-legal. Yeah, why not?
It felt legal as hell.
K's like mostly legal actually.
Like globally?
Well, just like in vibe.
Yeah. It feels super legal.
Like if horses, if it's not illegal for horses to have it, why would it be illegal for people?
Yeah. Like why do they have more rights than us?
Why do my cats need prescriptions?
Do they?
Yeah, they needed a prescription after surgery. And I was like, so what are you giving them?
Yeah, what is this? What's this do to me?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
because cats don't have laws.
Yeah, there's no cat pharmacist. Yeah, or cat jail.
Yeah, or cat school.
Yeah, or cat cops, thank God.
Oh, man, cat robbers. Can't forget the cat robbers.
Yeah.
Cat burglars.
Cat burglars, yeah.
Imagine a little... universe, all right, picture this. It's going to be hard to imagine. This
is you want to escape Scott Morrison's hellhole? Close your eyes, fam.
Close your eyes. We're taking you to year 11, 3-unit English, where the universe is exactly the same, except people are cats and they have people as pets. That's right. Your name is no longer Christopher, it's Buttons. And you're a piece of shit, and your owner kicks you when no one's around.
Oh. They're the type of people who should go to cat jail, mate.
Yeah, the cats that are kicking humans in that universe. Something that I have enjoyed doing recently, there's a two-hour video on YouTube, the best of the NRL footy show.
Oh, I saw that knocking about, maybe from you, in a group chat. Yeah. I didn't click on it. I did not click on it.
Man, I'm not above mentioning this. You know, when you go on holiday, you want people to think that you're just doing purely cultural experiences. You're going out for dinner. You go to the beach. You're like, the whole thing is...
Museums.
No one ever talks about...
Religious sites.
Yeah, watching Netflix on their...
Meditation.
No one talks about, like, getting a VPN and opening up Stan on their holiday. No one talks about that, but every cunt does it.
Yeah, well, because you finally got a fucking excuse to do that without feeling guilty. But then you are, then what, I'm supposed to feel guilty that holiday I actually fucking enjoyed myself?
Right. And so, you know, we leant into it and watched a fair chunk of the two-hour video of the best of the footy show.
Jesus Christ. Not my idea of a holiday, mate.
No, look, it was my idea of a holiday. Fuck it. Yeah, it was, dude.
No, I'm kidding.
But the one line that stood out was a Bulldogs player was on there being interviewed about how well Hazem El-Masri was kicking at the moment.
Mm, he was good at it for a moment there. I think that was the talk of the town.
Great. He's kicking Hazem El-Magic, man. Yeah. The kennel was barking for him down at Belmore. Anyway, this guy's getting interviewed about it. And like, so, you know, Hazem's kicking well. Obviously, he's just, yeah, oh, mate. The way Hazem's kicking, you'd hate to be his dog.
Oh, God.
It's fucking great line. It shut everyone up. I was just like, I can't say anything. And it's hard to shut Freddie up, man. But
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I tuned into an episode of Triple M because the AFL footy show's obviously gone as well. And they were basically banging on about like, oh, sorry, I've got to say something. I've got to say something about these so-called journalists all sticking the boot in. This was a show in prime time about football that got the best ratings for 20 years. And all you detractors saying, I predicted this coming. Well, you predicted about 10 years too early because we were rolling in cash. I was like, well, respect for like going off about the footy show. You know, like,
fuck. Man, with the footy show changed. I think there's a lot. Like,
you mean when they started putting broads on there?
Yeah, you know, the PC movement has taken a lot of scalps, man. But one that often is overlooked is stuff like the footy show had to stop being racist.
Yes,
and 90% of the humour is gone if you tell the footy show they need to stop being racist and paying out drunk people on the street when they go and do like the street talks. You know that they just go find a junkie and make him say weird shit. It's basically, man, the footy show walked so Brown Cardigan could run.
I was going to say, they didn't see it coming, but Brown Cardigan stole their market.
Yeah, Brown Cardigan is the reason the footy show's off the air.
They were just leaking viewers to people just clicking on Brown Cardigan.
Just go like, I don't need the footy show anymore. I don't need to see a bunch of former professional footballers in dresses when I can see some guy being attacked by a magpie. Perfect.
When I can see a junkie gurning out and someone zooming in like aggressively.
When I can see someone filming from their car yelling at a junkie, the junkie appropriately saying, go fuck yourself, and then them thinking, I won.
Oh yeah, who needs
junkie
the footy show?
Kill you, dude. I would love. You know what I think would be a logical progression for Brown Cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take an initial investment, but this would be a great way for them to monetize all the kind of combatants.
Are you saying they didn't make any money off the Mambo collabo?
Look, I don't want to put them in hot water with the ATO because I reckon there might have been a lot of cash off that, man. No. Here's how Brown Cardigan can monetize. What if they got the guys filming the videos and the junkies and put them in a boxing ring? Go on.
No.
Yell at him now, cunt.
No, you did.
Yell at him now, you fucking coward.
That's fantastic. Like, because what Australia needs is we need small businesses to grow and go international so we can kind of create jobs, as we're talking about.
And we're talking new industries.
We're talking new industries. And we all saw how popular the MMA was and how that grew.
Yeah.
This could be the next fucking MMA.
Retired footballers going and punching on for charity. Well, obviously, the logical progression from retired footballers is to Brown Cardigan. So now just get like a 22-year-old Chinese kid with a GoPro on his head fighting a magpie in the cage. Let's go, man. Brown Cardigan live.
They can do it on Twitch and you can donate. That's big money. If you're listening, Toby. If you're listening, and we know that you probably fucking are, yeah. We want in.
We want in. This is our IP, man. We're publishing this so that every cunt knows. We'll take it to the highest court in the country, or at least the highest cunt at the courty.
We'll take it to the highest cunt at the courty. Hey, you know who's been back at it?
Who?
Well, let me read some quotes to you and see if you can pick it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's this about?
Okay. Oh,
and maybe you can, even if you work it out, which you might do quickly, maybe we should hold off for a moment. It may be a dreary Friday morning in New York City, but in the lobby of the Soho Grand Hotel is vibrant with energy. For one, the other night he performed a unique stripped-down private show in a cavernous room at the ornate Big Apple auction house Sotheby's. Flanked by his own photography adorning the walls, it served as a preview for his upcoming studio album, Eat, Pray, Love.
Redacted.
Redacted. Not only is he buzzing about what he calls, quote, the most inspiring work collaboration I've ever had in my entire life with regards to a new project he's eager to talk about, he's also riding high on his new single, which boasts a Salvador Dali-esque video. Quote, a lot of songs are singular, but Sanity is the opposite.
Wait. He's saying it's not a single?
I don't fucking know.
What?
It's been through a lot of different iterations, but was first conceived in Japan. Redacted, who meditates at least once a day, was in the Buddhist community of Koyasan and considered one of the holiest places in the world and was deeply inspired by his serene surroundings. Quote, I came up with the piano line there, and then we took it to Shangri-La. Yes, he's referring to that Shangri-La, the famed Malibu, California studio belonging to the legendary producer Rick Rubin. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get some more quotes. For me, writing is like revealing a part of my soul. Do I want to go into a writing studio with 20 strangers? No. I know a lot of people don't think like me because a lot of artists do that, but I think I'd write better song with my aunt or uncle who's a tone deaf than a stranger. For so me,
he's shitting on his own family now.
For me, it's an exchange of energies. I mean, who the fuck are we talking about here? It's pretty obvious. He's Australian.
He's Australian? Okay, he's Australian. He's a fuckwit. That doesn't narrow it down. He's an Australian fuckwit in music. Oh, that narrows it down heaps.
Well, if you need a bit more.
Yeah.
I've had lots of offers to work with bigger artists, but it's always through the managerial train. That's normal, but you never really know, is this the person actually interested in meeting me or if it's a manager thing, he says, noting Frank Ocean's camp once reached out. I love his music. He's
Can
amazing.
Can I just stop you there? Same. Like, you're not special, dude. I can also say that Frank Ocean's people reached out.
Afrojack reached out.
Prove it, motherfucker. Yeah, yeah. I've got receipts.
Afrojack himself.
Do you?
I love his music and he's amazing.
Oh, but
I
need great, but like...
I need to meet someone before I'm going to give them music. It's just not how I work. We are fucking... This is, of course, a gentleman who goes by the name of Nick Murphy now. But also, he just says here, I need to meet someone before I'm going to give them music. And then he goes on to talk about how he's working with Rick Rubin. And he's like, we chatted through email for a while.
Is that meeting someone these days? No, I need to e-meet someone before I work with them.
Oh, Chet Faker. Apparently, it was Rick Rubin who suggested that he change his name to work under the name Nick Murphy as opposed to Chet Faker.
Man, that name sucks, dude.
What's your real name? Oh.
Yeah, look, I'm not really invested, man. Do whatever. I change it. Rick Rubin told me to change my name. Yeah, I don't know. It's both a shit, bro. Just change it. Who cares? Thank you, Rick Rubin.
Yeah, bro, fucking hell, what a fucking dumb cunt. Like, literally, his album name is, it may as well be Eat, Pray, Love. It's Run Fast, Sleep Naked. Yeah. Wow, dude.
As someone who can do neither of those things, I don't have time to get into it, but I can't do either of those things. I'm offended.
No, I'm the opposite. I can't sleep fast.
I can't not do them. I'm either running fast or sleeping naked. Stop telling me to do it. I can't stop.
I'm triggered.
Yeah, yeah. Why are you telling me to do this, man? It's killing me. I can't stop running and sleeping naked.
Run fast, shit naked.
run fast, shit all over yourself.
He also took 4 years off to travel and find himself. Can't.
Well, you know what? You're always the last place you look.
Yeah, so he's Nick Murphy. Chet Faker's back. That's going to be awesome, man. I mean, it was good that we were able to shut him down for this long. I guess he heard that the meeting tree had retired. That's why he's coming out of fucking hiding.
Well, man, he did Groovin', and apparently he brought everything from the States, like full, like, whole back line, drums, amps, an upright piano, 60 crates of shit shipped over from the States.
Who brought this?
Nick Murphy.
Well, when someone's being themselves, we think they're crazy. If you ever just really dance, you look crazy.
Wait.
He's just dropping some serious knowledge. No one's ever said anything along these lines before. When someone's being themselves, we think they're crazy. If you ever just really dance, you look crazy. There's no awareness or thought of presentation. I got to a point where things were going really well, but it was important for me to show my fans that I care more about the creation of the art than the success of any project. He literally just said, dance like no one's watching.
Imagine, bro, imagine finding yourself and that's what you found. Yeah. Oh, you'd be spewing.
I did ayahuasca.
And a great vision came to me and said, dance like no one's watching.
Run fast, sleep naked, dance like no one's watching. Bro, who's your shaman, cunt? He needs to be fired. Fire your shaman.
That's fucking great.
That's the final line of the interview.
Love like you've never been hurt before. Run fast, sleep naked.
Take your boxer shorts off before you go to sleep.
In case you shit yourself.
And if you're going to run, make it fast.
Yeah, make it fast. To get away from the shit coming out of your ass.
If you're going to run, it should be run backwards and keep shitting.
Run backwards, keep shitting. Can that be the Meeting Tree album name? Run backwards, keep shitting. Streaming now.
Yes, I mean, you know, it makes sense that like,
yeah, definitely.
He's probably about to release the perfect album for now.
Have you heard it?
No, I haven't fucking heard it. Is it out?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I caught some of it. Oh man. And did Rick Rubin produce it?
I think he produced a song on there or some shit. Okay,
because man, that's funny if he did, because like I was listening to it going like, this sounds like it hasn't been produced. Like, is Rick Rubin's like the Meeting Tree walked so Rick Rubin could run in terms of trolling this cunt. He's gonna change your name. Yeah, I'll produce a song for you, bro. No worries. Well, all dry. What do you think?
Like, Rick Rubin's doing that thing, like, you know how like Wu-Tang Clan and like fucking Naughty by Nature and shit, like always like tour Australia like every fucking year because we're the only ones who'll pay him.
Ben Harper, like Pink. We're dumb. And we wonder like, oh wait, the Liberals got in, what the hell? And Pink sold out 8 fucking entertainment centers. Like that's a trigger, bro. That tells you everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rick Rubin just before this did Angus and Julia Stone. Like Rick Rubin's just doing the thing
where
you just get Australians to pay you to do nothing.
Fuck, we're fucking smart, man, as a country. The smart country.
What happened? Why did they all vote for the guy who shat himself at Engadine Macus?
Didn't they see the plaque?
It's almost like they don't follow the chaser on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know how you can say you're informed if you didn't watch Irrational Fear.
Oh, Alex Turnbull made this fantastic point the other day. How did they not see it?
I mean, surely you noticed that I retweeted Roman Quaidvliet. You know, you probably didn't understand the words in it. I did. He wrote back to a tweet of mine, Roman Quaidvliet, former boss of Border Force.
Yeah.
He was talking about the war on drugs.
He speaks like a fucking Cranbrook boy.
Yeah. He's such a tosser. And he was tweeting about the war on drugs and about how cocaine is getting to Australia easier and easier. And I said, mate, if we're flooded with cocaine, why am I still paying $300 a bag? And he wrote back going like, oh, well, you've probably noticed the quality has gone up.
No,
you dickhead. Like, this is why the criminal's always going to be one step ahead. Because
you're always going to be chasing your tail, mate, and this is proof.
You think they pass on the savings. Like, sure, most bags are $250 now, but, you know, that's getting stepped on. It's 0.8.
It's perfect metaphor for trickle-down economics, mate.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. If we just give the bankers tax cuts, surely they'll pass it on to the worker.
If we just give the rack dealers higher quality cocaine.
They'll pass it on.
Yeah, and I'm here to say they didn't. And that's your fault, Roman.
This is why we need regulation. See, if we were able to come in and regulate and force the coke dealers to up the quality of the cocaine, everyone would be better off.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
Think of the efficiency.
Well, and the demand would probably increase.
Yeah.
But this is the role of government, you know?
Yeah, this is what we voted for.
Yeah.
Don't blame me.
I didn't vote.